It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Man, are we into the off season or what? Because we're doing the Brad Underwood show today. It's the Brad Underwood show because we got news that it is official. This had previously been reported, but K-State now officially announcing they will take part in the 2021 Hall of Fame Classic at Sprint Center, along with Illinois, Cincinnati, and Arkansas. Now, Kellis Robinette, Big J Journo, of course, he is the one that has the answer here. Bruce Weber has told him that K-State will not be matched up with Illinois in that first game. However, if they either both win or both lose, they would play in the second game. I'm here to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think Bruce Weber has much to lose if the matchup with Brad Underwood actually happens. Really, truly don't. I don't think Bruce Weber has much to lose. Welcome into the game. John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner. We're on Twitter. It's at the game KMAN. I'm on Twitter at JL Kurtz. Mitch is at Mitch the Fort. I know that the conventional logic here would be to say, well, I mean, of course they're going to avoid Illinois in the first round. You don't want to willingly put yourself in that matchup. You don't want to willingly take on Illinois because if Bruce has to play Brad and then Bruce loses to Brad, who everybody has been fawning over for so long and has wanted to be the head coach here, it's just going to be a bad thing for him. It'll be nothing but bad. I get why your logic goes there. It's already sharks circling the water at all times, by the way, for Bruce, even when he's winning Big 12 championships, especially now when he's had back-to-back really bad years. There are sharks circling the water waiting for the blood to come out there and gobble it all up. Look, Bruce is terrible. He just got clocked by the guy we've all wanted to be our head coach now for years. Should have hired him back in 2016 when he went to Oklahoma State. Yada, yada. We know that story, right? But I actually think conventional wisdom doesn't work here because the same sharks that are there, the key is in what I started that with. They're there anyway. It doesn't matter if Bruce beats anybody or loses to anybody. The sharks are always there, ready to jump in and eat the guy alive and ready to torch him as K-State's coach. So, like, what difference does it make if he beats or doesn't beat Brad Underwood? I don't think it makes any. Because the Sharks are going to be their nice touch, Mitch. Ready to rip him alive, no matter who it is he wins or loses to. Right? I mean, you can just hear that right now in the background. Like, that just picture, it's like a guy with an Illinois t-shirt and a South Carolina backwards baseball hat or something. You know, just hanging out in the water, ready to take him down. Look, guys, it has never mattered for that crowd who Bruce has played or not. It has never mattered. So what difference does it make if he goes out and plays him in this preseason tournament, which I think is a very cool and it's a great lineup of teams, by the way, in an important year where you're going to need resume games. Like, I like a lot about what this tournament is doing for the team actually on the schedule next year. So I'm glad that they were not afraid to go play this thing with Brad still sitting there. And I would bet that that's a lot of the calculus. Like, look, man, the people who hate you are going to hate you. The people who like you aren't going to bail on you just because you lose a game to Underwood. Like, the people that are at least open to Bruce Weber understand that it's not his fault. Like, Brad Underwood is not the coach here right now. And they're not going to just run him out of town because of that. Now, if he goes out and has a bad year next year, and it's a third straight bad year, then people will be ready to run him out of town because it would be a third straight bad season. But that's the thing. Like, it's already a make-or-break year. It's not like a game against Illinois in, I should know when these games are, November 22nd and 23rd. It's not like a game in November is going to determine Bruce's fate next season, right? That would be the point that I would make here. It's a make-or-break year no matter what. And I would say, like, take the chance. Illinois was a number one seed last year. I don't know what their roster exactly looks like for this upcoming season. But they're probably going to be a decent team, and it gives you a chance to go pick up a resume-boosting win. And what you need is you need to make the tournament. So if I'm Bruce, I'm saying I don't care. I don't care. Like, this could have been different a couple of years ago. Like, even when, and oh boy, we're going to break your heart with some of this. I was listening back to an interview that we did with Brad Underwood in 2017 when he was about to come into Bramlage and play for the first time after he had taken the Oklahoma State job. Like, back then, okay, maybe it's a bit different because you're talking about at that point in time, it was much fresher. Bruce had not had the cachet built up of going to a second or going to an Elite Eight or winning a second Big 12 championship. Times were different then. There's more to lose then. Right now, like, you've got that cachet built up. It's already a make or break season. You're this deep into your tenure. It just doesn't, it doesn't matter. And you know what? Like, it adds some intrigue to the season. For the fans, it adds some intrigue and interest to the season. For the team, it provides you a resume boosting opportunity to go out and get a win. So I'm here for it. I don't think they should shy away from it. It sounds like they're not. Obviously not saying, hey, give us Illinois in the semifinal. Like, okay, you're removing some possibility of it happening, but you're getting pretty damn close. You're getting pretty damn close. And to me, it all comes down to what are we really talking about if we say this is a bad thing, that it shouldn't be happening? Are we really saying, like, you know, because some fans may get their panties in a bunch, like, that's what we're worried about? Because they're already there. They're already there. Like, thinking that this game is going to sway people's opinion is akin to thinking that whatever political Facebook post it is that you're about to make is legitimately going to change somebody's mind. It's just not. It's not going to. I'm here for this game. I think it will be interesting if it does happen. And I think just honestly gutting up and playing in this thing is a good move.
So I'm going to disagree with you on this one because, first of all, Bruce Weber, winning the game would be huge. You already have the ball rolling in the non-conference. On paper, Brad Underwood's squad is going to be a lot better. And I would imagine, I don't know, we don't know the schedules yet. You don't know how tough it is for K-State going into that. I would imagine, you know, Illinois will have some powder puff teams coming in that game as well before they play at this T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. But, I mean, this isn't a political debate here. I mean, this is we're talking about a college basketball head coach that already doesn't need to lose the support he has right now. I mean, anymore, it could get a lot worse. And I think it's vulnerable.
Like, I guess my question would be, like, what support does he really have? He doesn't have a ton of support.
He does have support. And the support comes from what he has done. He has built, I wouldn't say built, he has built one Big 12 championship team, but he's got two championships.
But, like, the people that are willing to acknowledge that and appreciate that and still stand by him for that, they're not the ones that will leave because he loses to Brad. The only thing that will happen is that it'll just be a Twitter dunk fest for people that were already upset and are not changing anybody's mind.
But what I'm getting at here is Bruce Weber, for his sake, you don't want to lose to Brad Underwood. Because even those that still love Bruce, I think everybody definitely has an open mind about bringing Brad Underwood in. They would love for him to be the next head coach. I think we can all agree on that. That'd be fantastic. He's had tremendous success elsewhere. Bringing him back home, it's like a dream come true for both parties, him and the K-State fan base. If Brad wins, Bruce loses more support that he had. And it doesn't help him out moving forward.
I guess support with fans, support with his boss.
I think
really
all
matters.
The above. I think it does.
Do you think Gene Taylor is sitting there, like, going to be grading him differently in a one game, a one off against Brad Underwood just because it's Brad?
I mean, these games count for Bruce Weber's job. This is his last year if he doesn't succeed.
They do, but I mean, to me, that's just about the totality of the season and not about specifically what coach it is that you're going up against on the other side. Like, the Illinois game can play a role in factoring in what happens, but it's because you would be missing out on an opportunity to get a resume building win, and you have to get into the tournament. I don't think it has anything to do with Brad. Like, if Gene cared about the things that, like, fans cared about, that we're sitting here saying, like, oh, that would be a fireable offense to go lose to that guy, or that would be a fireable offense to go lose that game, Bruce would already be gone, because the most conventional thought along those lines that I've seen over the last 10 years of K-State basketball is if you get 20-balled by Fort Hays State at home, fireable offense. You know, I think that adds some pretty universal sort of support to it. And guess what? Bruce basically got 20-balled by Fort Hays State at home this past year, and Gene still didn't fire him. By the way, when he finished, what, bottom two in the Big 12? And he still has a job. Won four Big 12 games, lost to Fort Hays State, got killed by Fort Hays State, and still stuck around. So I just don't think Gene abides by the things that, like, fans do.
You're right. I mean, to that point, you're right. But the fans, there is still, I think, a lot of support out there for Bruce Weber. He is the K-State men's basketball coach. Not everybody wants K-State to fail just so they could get a new coach. That's pretty sick, in my opinion. Everybody, I think for the majority of fans, they want success for K-State men's basketball. And losing to Brad Underwood does not help Bruce Weber out when it comes to support. You're going to hear it much louder to get Bruce Weber out of there. And it's so early in the year, that is support Bruce Weber cannot afford to lose.
But
I'm just saying, support.
Again, to me, I just think we need to separate, like, losing to Illinois and losing an opportunity to beat a good team like that. Yes.
Bruce Weber loses fan support if he loses to Brad Underwood. It's all aboard the Brad Underwood boat at that point.
I think people are already dug in there and in their positions. You know, I mean, I think it's very. I know you said, "Hey, this is sports, not politics."
It can swing. There's no doubt it can swing.
I think sport, but like swing from what? I think there's already a low number of people that like really do truly support in Bruce and like believe in where things are going right now. I don't think one game against Illinois and Brad is going to change it. Like, to me, I mean, it's like you're in like a tornado and then being like, well, there might be a little bit of rain. Well, like, yeah, okay, but I mean, there's a tornado here. And the tornado is you better make the NCAA tournament or your job's going to be out the window. Not like, let me worry about whether or not I'm going to beat this guy that everybody else thinks is a great head coach. Like, we're dug in. This is not like a new coach that's like trying to make new impressions here. Like, Bruce opinions have been very set in stone over basically a decade now. I mean, we're going on like a decade of this. And people have been dug in for a long time. And I don't think any one game against anybody, but especially Brad, is really moving that needle too much. Like, we lived through Fort Hays State last year, and I don't know that there could be anything that would be more impactful than that. So we haven't even really discussed this part of it, but I do think there's a lot of upside there. If you go beat them and you pick up a win over Illinois, there's a lot of upside there. And I think the downside is you just still don't have a whole ton of support, and you still have a lot of people that hate you, which is how it already exists in the real world. It's going to be a lot of K-State basketball today, the way this thing works out. And let us know what you think. At J.O. Kurtz, at the game, KMAN. Because Shane Southwell is joining us in Hour 2, and I've got Marquise Noel coming up next. Not only does he have a shout-out for a certain special somebody here on the show, but I think you're going to really like the attitude that he brings, and he answers the question, what exactly happened at Little Rock where he had his coach talking some smack on his way out the door? That's all next. I think you are going to enjoy this next interview. It is Marquise Noel, a My Boy candidate for Mitch. New point guard for K-State coming in out of the transfer portal. He played at Little Rock the last couple of years. Former first-team all-league pick. Helped his team win a league championship while he was there. Opted out with 8 games left in the season. And it seemed dicey. His head coach did not seem very happy about how things ended there. But fun kid to talk to from New York. Shane Southwell brought him in. We're going to talk to Shane in Hour 2 of the show. For now, Marquise, appreciate you making some time, man. How excited are you to be coming to K-State?
Very excited, man. I'm glad to be a Wildcat. And, yeah, it's going to be an exciting year. I can't wait for the fans to get a glimpse of who I am as a person and, most importantly, and who I am as a basketball player. So, can't wait.
So, tell me how K-State wound up on your radar.
It was through a connection. You know, Coach Shane Southwell is from New York City. So he locked me in with Coach Bruce, and it was just a connection thing. So Coach Shane Southwell definitely took the biggest toll on getting me to Kansas State. And I watched a couple games, and I've seen how the guys played, and I've seen how Coach Bruce Weber was, and I knew a lot about Coach Bruce. So it was pretty much a no-brainer when he brought this option up to me. And, yeah, that's how that came about.
Who else were you really considering or getting a lot of interest from?
Schools like Oklahoma, LSU, Cal State. Teams like that. So those were probably like the main three, though.
I'm talking with Marquise Noel, one of the newest Wildcats. So I've seen you play your game, man. I love your game and how tough you are at your size. But to people who haven't seen you play, how would you describe what exactly your game is like?
When you watch me on the court, you're going to see my toughness, my grit, my heart, my will to win, and my leadership ability. I've been gifted with the basketball IQ and the willingness to win basketball games and know how to come about winning basketball games. So when you see me, you're gonna get some entertainment. You're gonna get what you paid for. And I love putting on a show, man. I love putting on a show for the fans. I love keeping the fans engaged and entertained at all times. And my brother always told me, get the fans what they came to see. So I definitely try to do that majority of the time.
You've definitely got the logo range, right? You can pull up from the logo and knock it down. And that's something that we haven't seen in Manhattan. How do you think that's going to fly with Bruce Weber if you come down the floor and take like a Steph Curry three from the logo?
Those are the shots that I work on time and time again. You know, I put in countless hours in the gym. I put in 1,000 shots over and over again. But to answer your question, I don't think Coach Bruce Weber is going to have much to say if they go in most of the time. So, I just believe in my preparation. I believe in my work. I believe in myself. So I just feel like those shots are a part of my game, and that's what the fans will want to see. That's what people around the world know me as, you know, that logo shooter, that tough New York point guard that love being flashy, that loves being entertaining. So that's a part of my game. Hopefully he doesn't have much to say about it, but if he do, hopefully we can come together and figure something out.
Marquise Noel is talking with me. I'm only guessing here, but man, 5'7", 155 is what you're listed at. If you're that size coming up in New York, I would imagine that's where the toughness comes from, right? If you're smaller, you've got to develop that toughness to hang with everybody. Am I correct in that assumption? And like, what was that like? How did you develop that toughness?
Absolutely, you are correct. That's when being smaller than everybody in New York, you gotta be tougher than everybody. You gotta outwork everybody. I wasn't always the biggest guy on the court, so I used to get kicked off most of the time. So whenever I got on, I was pretty much angry. I was angry that I wasn't the first one to be picked. So I guess that's just my lifestyle. That's just how I go about playing. And it's been successful thus far. And, yeah, it's just the New York mentality. All New York guards play tough, hard. They're going to give it their all. They love the game. So that's what you're going to see when you watch me play.
What's the worst case of somebody in your playing career like underestimating you because of your size, and then you've been able to embarrass them? You have any good stories as far as that goes?
I think that you went to my Twitter and you saw that little quote I live by. But yeah, like, underestimate me and I will embarrass you has been something I live by, or I try to live by, because, you know, when you step on the court with a 5'7" point guard, you think you could take advantage of them. But my stature has nothing to do with my mindset and my IQ. So I hope nobody underestimates me. But you know that won't happen with just looking at my appearance and looking at my physique. So it's just, I don't know, man. You just don't underestimate this 5'7" point guard, please.
I like it. Marquise Noel is talking with me. Now, I read this, I think it was in an article about Ishmael himself, but Ishmael Massoud is another guy who's coming in as a transfer, and I know he's from kind of the same area as you. Do you have familiarity? Did you used to play with him some back in the day?
I definitely did. I used to play with Ishmael in a couple tournaments in New York City. I played on the PSA at one point where Ish was playing. So we definitely have a connection there, and that's definitely going to grow on the court and just being around him for this year. And Ish knows a great guy, man. He's a very humble kid, loves the game. He's willing to do whatever it takes to win a basketball game. So I think you'll also love the other New York City point guard, Ishmael. He's a bit taller than me by a landslide, but we both enjoy the game. We both love having fun, and we both love entertaining.
Well, I do have to ask this. I know you opted out toward the end of the season with Little Rock. Just what was the ending of your time there at Little Rock like with you and Coach Walker?
I knew this question was coming because I've answered this question multiple times for like the past 3 to 4 interviews, but it was nothing it was a miscommunication that happened with just the Little Rock in the program. I'm gonna keep in house because I don't want to go spreading business around, but it was just a miscommunication with the team. And I just felt like my time has expired at Little Rock. You know, I gave it my all, 3 years of just hard work, dedication, a championship. And at that point in time, I think it was best for me and my family and some other teammates to opt out at that certain time. So, like I said, I'm going to keep in-house. I don't want to go spreading business, but yeah, my time just has expired there. I love Little Rock organization. I love the school. I don't have no bad blood towards Coach Darryl Walker or anybody on the coaching staff. But my time just has expired.
Totally fair, and I very much appreciate you answering the question. I'm talking with Marquise Noel. So my producer, he's not actually here. I wish he was right now with me. But he lived in New York for a year. He took me to New York for the first time like 2 years ago, and I absolutely loved it. So from where you're from, like what are the spots? What are the go-to spots? Like next time I go to New York, where do I need to be getting food or whatever it might be?
Yeah, you definitely have to try Sylvia's. It's like a soul food restaurant that's popular. Then you definitely have to go sightseeing and go to New York. You had to go visit the World Trade, the Empire State Building, MSG, Madison Square Garden. That whole 42nd to 59th Street is beautiful. When you go out there, you can just walk and just see the buildings. It's nothing that I can describe. It's just a feeling. It's a feeling that you will have to go and feel for yourself.
The last thing I have for you here, Marquise, is also my producer, Mitch. He always, like, he will pick out a guy from a K-State team to, like, be his dude. Last time he did this with the football team, he wound up picking the freshman who turned into, like, a newcomer who turned into the star. And he's already decided that you're his guy. You're his boy for this year on the team. So his name's Mitch. I don't know if you have any kind of a shout-out to Mitch.
Mitch, man. Thank you, Mitch, man, for believing in me, seeing my potential, man. I won't let you down. And I can't wait to see you.
How about that, huh? How about that? Don't ever say I didn't do anything for you, Mitch. Made sure to get this thing recorded earlier today, and I didn't leave you out.
Yeah, those are some sweet words. You know, we both come from New York. We can bond over that, you know?
That's right.
So we're almost like it's like a blood brother right there.
All this talk of bonding with Shane Southwell over the New York thing, it really should be bonding with Mitch Fortner over the New York thing.
Yeah, Shane Southwell, I mean, he's too tall. He's too tall. You know, Marquise Noel's more on my level.
He is. That's a great, great point by you. And it's not actually the most famous person to ever endorse you and give you a shout-out here on this radio show. We've got the audio of the person that was the most famous coming up next. All right, so Mitch just got a nice shout-out from Marquise Noel, incoming K-State point guard, if you missed it.
Shout-out to Mitch, man. Thank you, Mitch, man, for believing in me, seeing my potential, man. I won't let you down. I can't wait to see you.
Very sincere. Can't wait to see you either. It's excited to meet you. I didn't even tell him about the fact that you guys are pretty much the same height.
Well, you didn't tell him that I'll be announcing his name.
Oh, that's right.
Every time he knocks down a triple.
That's right. How are you going to do that?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Better start working on it. You know we're going to have to workshop that at some point here over the summer. We've got a lot of show to do.
6 months.
A lot of show to do before we actually get around to a basketball season. Yeah. All right. Well, that is not the most famous person to ever give Mitch a shout-out, believe it or not. Although, Noel, look, I'm not trying to knock first-team All-Sunbelt. More notoriety than certainly I'll ever have in my life, okay? Not knocking that at all, but Marquise Noel is no Michael Bishop.
Mitch.
Yes.
Well, Michael Bishop.
Mike, hey, man, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Let's make this happen, man. Let's get you in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, I appreciate it. Mitch.
And that was from, what, 2018, 2017?
June 4th, 2018.
So a couple of things there. You know, we're still having the same damn College Football Hall of Fame conversation with Bishop then in 2018 that we're having now 3 years later in 2021. But that was a pretty good shout-out. And the first one was unsolicited from Bishop. He just went out on his own and then did that to try and give you some love.
I didn't give him any heads up about it. I think what it was is we were talking about it. It was the big headline story that day because you came down to Hutch to watch me do some ring announcing and the place just go nuts whenever I wipe my feet on the apron and step into the ring. I mean, the place just it's like Stone Cold Steve Austin showed up.
He's not lying and either. That's not really much of an exaggeration.
That's where the chance came from. You talked about it, and you're like, hey, we'll give you a sports guide if you come on the show and give Mitch a chant. And Michael heard that.
What a terrible idea for a show. Like, hey, we'll autograph a sports guide for you if you just yell Mitch into the phone. No wonder we only got like two callers.
We got one right behind you.
A sports guide?
Yeah. We can do it again.
We sure do. If you want an autographed sports guide from, I don't know when that one is, there's no athlete on the cover. Maybe that's this year. It's either this year or it's about 5 years old. 5-3-7-13-50. I'll even autograph it for you.
I think it's 1920.
You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to do anything. Mitch, by the way, if you wanted to hear the entire montage, we put together an entire montage that day of people that were just chanting your name.
Donnie from Hiawatha ? would like to come on the show. Hello, Donnie.
Mitch. Woo!
On Twitter, Steve, who's a loyal listener, but he not only got himself to do the Mitch chant, he has his daughter riding in the car, and even she gets involved in the action here.
Hey, Aria, can you say Mitch?
I did.
Do it again.
Mitch.
Wow.
Good job.
Michael Bishop is with us here on the game. Is there any frustration with continuing to be on this ballot yet not getting into the College Football Hall of Fame?
Well, before I start, I'm Mitch.
Yes. Well, Michael Bishop.
Mike, hey, man, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Let's make this happen, man. Let's get you in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, I appreciate it. Mitch.
So if you had to power rank how all of these actually stack up in your heart, which one is number one? We've got Michael Bishop, Marquise Noel, random young girl, Donnie from Hiawatha ? Or whoever the drunk guy is at the MWE show.
Michael Bishop would be number one. I'm going to give the little girl at number two. That was pretty special.
Well, that's pandering, though. That's pandering. That didn't really mean anything to you.
That meant a lot to me. That means my fans range at all ages.
You're going to tell me that meant more than Marquise Noel?
Well, Marquise Noel didn't chant my name. He was just like, hey, Mitch, appreciate the support. Not going to let you down.
Yeah, but it was listen to how sincere this is.
Shout out to Mitch, man. Thank you, Mitch, man, for believing in me, seeing my potential, man. I won't let you down. And I can't wait to see you.
That's so sincere. The little girl didn't even want to do it the first time. She had to be goaded into doing it.
Well, first of all, you had to ask Marquise Noel pretty much to give me a shout-out. So, he probably felt like he had to do it. So he did it. Anyway, he was cool about it.
So did the girl. She felt like she had to do it because she got asked twice by her dad.
But she did it prior to the filming. She had done it once, and dad's like, okay. Oh, you got to do it again for me. You got to do it again for me. And she did. She was a good sport about it.
Okay. Well, hey, it's your list.
Who else was there? Donnie's last.
Donnie's last?
Donnie's last. Wow. I'm not a big fan of Hiawatha.
Tough. Oh, boy. I do not endorse that. I don't know anything about you, Hiawatha, except I went there one time for a football game. It was lovely.
I drive through it whenever I used to go to St. Joseph, Missouri.
I take that back. It was not lovely. I did not really enjoy it.
Nah, it's not that great. I played one football game there. No, actually didn't play. I was hurt that day, but I did go on the road trip, and we just demolished Hiawatha. Who else was there?
Oh,
the drunk guy at MWE. Yeah, very special. Cool.
You're
guy.
Putting him above Noel?
I'm putting him, I am putting him above Marquise Noel.
Noel is fourth.
He kept that chant going for a long time, and he got it going, first of all. And that yell at the end, that woo! Man, that the effort alone earns him a decent spot.
But is it him that got it going, or is it the 10 Bud Lights that got it going?
I think it's Miller Lights that night. That was the big special.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm sure. Well, the thing is, though, like he had done it prior. Like that wasn't a one night thing. I mean, that was like a 2 or 3 year thing. It started a long time ago, and he was a big part of the Mitch section there at MWE.
The Mitch section,
which is the whole crowd.
All right, there you have it. Marquise Noel's shout out did not mean much at all to Mitch. That is what we have found out. He did not appreciate it. He did not appreciate my efforts to get that out of Noel. Now, if you are a K-State fan that loves you some Brad Underwood, let me twist the knife on you coming up next. Brad Keller, some kind of ace.
Dig.
God, deal with a little adversity. How about you get through 4 innings? Lord. By the time I get home to sit down on my couch, I can't even enjoy a competitive Royals game. Brad Underwood may be coming back into our lives. Another K-State X. Officially announced today, K-State will play in the Hall of Fame Classic at T-Mobile Center. You know what? Screw it. It's at Sprint Center. K-State is not going to play Illinois, according to Kellis Robinette, in the first round in the semis of this, but if both teams win or both teams lose, K-State would be playing Illinois after that. I'm here for the idea. I really don't think Bruce Weber has that much to lose. And if Brad Underwood, you know, if what he told us a couple of years ago is any indication, it doesn't sound like he'll really be all that bothered by playing K-State again. I was actually very interested to go back and listen to this because today got me thinking. I was like, I know we had Brad on when K-State played Oklahoma State for the first time here in Manhattan when he was at OSU that one year. And, man, it was like it was hot and heavy then. You think the conversation about Brad is strong now? It was hot and heavy then because he had just left Stephen F. Austin, taken that job at Oklahoma State, and everybody wanted Bruce Weber to get the axe and for Brad to have been hired right then. It was still very, very fresh. And we asked the tough questions. Proud of us. Me and Tyler asking the tough questions. Brad Underwood, though, says at the time, never really thought beyond Stephen F. Austin and thinking about K-State.
I never looked at it that way. The job was never open. They've got a terrific basketball coach. Bruce has done a great job there, and it was every year I was at Stephen F. Austin, I had different opportunities to look and to pursue other positions, and I was very fortunate, very blessed because we had some success there. I've never, for one second, thought about anything beyond what I can control, and that was, you know, being a basketball coach at Oklahoma State when that opportunity came along.
Now, that's some great coach speak. I happen to, just based on things that I've been told, I would venture a guess that that's not entirely true. But, of course, you can't say that at that point in time. He's in the middle of the season with Oklahoma State. And I know that this is very mischievous of me, and this is very mean of me to those of you that are firmly in the Brad camp. And I'm not trying to paint myself out to be somebody that's like a Brad hater, not by any stretch of the imagination. Love the guy. He was a part of the resurgence of modern K-State basketball. Could never, ever hate the guy. Absolutely not. Never have anything bad to say about him. I'd love for him to be the coach here someday. Love for him to be the coach here someday. But I know exactly what I'm doing when I play this clip of all the things that Brad Underwood says he misses about Manhattan.
I miss the chef, Varsity Donut, So Long Saloon, Taco Luca, and Harry. How about all those?
That's
a pretty good list.
That's very impressive. That was like the Townie All-Star list of restaurants there, Brad.
Well, and then I would probably have to throw in Darrow's for my morning diet soda.
I'm just picturing the guy that's at home. I already referenced him earlier, swimming around as a shark. You know, he's wearing his Illinois basketball shirt. He's got his South Carolina baseball cap on. And he's just listening next to his, I would say, like, podcast or the way that, you know, 90% of people, I'm sure, are listening these days. But I like to picture him as a guy that has, like, the Robert, radio that you would carry up on your shoulder. Like a big boombox-style radio, and he's just in the Illinois and the South Carolina gear listening to that, and just, like, it's just every restaurant that gets rattled off there, Dara's, Taco Lucha, the chef, Harry's, rest in peace, like, every one of them is just like a knife, like, coming at your heart twofold every single time that you hear that. That is a man that knows and loves Manhattan, Kansas.
I mean, I just heard a guy that probably has a routine. When I heard the Dara's comment, I mean, if he got the job here, he would know exactly where he would live.
He sure would.
He would know where to go in the morning. He would have that routine down like he had never left when Frank Martin left.
Oh, seems like a perfect marriage, doesn't it? It does.
He's ready to come back.
It does.
You
but
can just hear, even though that clip is old.
He's.
I think
he's,
if you ask him the question again.
He's ready to
again,
come back as of 4 years ago. He was ready.
If you ask him the question again, he'd probably give the exact same answer.
Oh, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would. Hell, maybe that's something we can do this offseason. Get Brad on. See if he'll talk to us out in Champaign. I'm sure he would talk to us before this event actually comes. So you got that to look forward to, K-State fans. I would tell you there's probably like a 90% chance Brad would do that interview. It'd be like the week of November 20th. So set your radio dials on November 20th. I'm glad, though, K-State didn't get scared off from scheduling this, and I'll tell you why next.